Welcome to Stories of Hope. This is a podcast by the Dream Center,
where you will hear from people who have stories that once seemed hopeless.
People whose stories of redemption and life transformation are so powerful, they can only be possible by the power of Jesus. Hey everybody, welcome back to Stories of Hope. Super exciting kind of pre-season bonus episode today. I'm here with Chris Wilson, who's our executive director, and then also Lou Kuhn. We just wrapped up our second annual Upstate Suicide Prevention Training, and I'm actually going to pitch to Chris to kind of give some background on how it started and why we do it. And
absolutely. We are so excited. It was a wonderful day. We had a lot of people show up, and they were leaving. They were just talking about how impactful it was and how grateful they are for the opportunity. The reason we did this last year for the first time is really it stemmed from a staff person having a situation in her family where a grandson committed suicide. And we started talking to staff people and realized that virtually every single person on our staff had been touched in some way by suicide. So we were like, my goodness. And then we started doing some research, and then we started realizing how the upstate compares just statewide is terrible for suicide deaths. And so the more we learned, the more concerned we got. And one of our strategic planning for the Dream Center, we help a lot of individuals and families that come in for help, but we decided over a year ago that we wanted to be part of the solution to problems that affected people in our community. And I know that's not a problem that, you know, can be solved overnight, but I've learned from Lou that this can be prevented. And if we can just take a step forward to be part of the solution, that's where you start somewhere.
Right.
So we did a little research. We said we're not experts, but we need to find an expert. And we found Lou, and it was so good. Last year, this training, well, first I want to share, we wanted this to be a training with no barriers for attending. Right. We wanted it to be paid for, lunch provided, the workbook provided, so that students and parents and coaches and teachers, regardless of your budget, could come.
Right.
And so that was unique. And then we just wanted to share and collaborate. And so we had a lot of collaborative partners that helped make it paid for.
Yeah.
And then last year, after the training, within 2 days, I personally had a situation at the Dream Center, was faced with someone who was having suicidal thoughts. And I felt so much more comfortable just hitting the conversation direct on, head on, where instead of being like, oh my gosh, let me beat around a few bushes here.
Right.
We just went straight in and did exactly what you taught. And of course, our team here has a lot of opportunity, because we have a lot of people come to the Dream Center, either in our Opportunity Village program or in crisis intervention. Mm-hmm. Many, many, I don't even know the percentage right now, is very high of people who have either attempted suicide or had suicidal thoughts. Yeah. And so we're like, what are we doing? We just need to learn.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we're super thankful just for the impact that you've had just over the last 2 years we've gotten to do this. But also just to give a little bit of background, kind of how did this all come about for you, and how did it kind of start?
Well, as I share every time I'm in South Carolina is near and dear to my heart because this is the state where my own oldest son asked me the suicide question back in 2011 at a time when I had lost hope. And so we were walking on the USS Yorktown. I was down there from Fort Jackson, had to go down to Charleston Air Force Base. We had the opportunity to tour the Yorktown. I called my son, who's an airman, asked him to join us. He started asking questions.
Right.
One thing led to another, and he popped the question on me. He was 20 years old when he said, Dad, are you having thoughts of suicide?
Wow.
And so that's where it all sprang forth from. And a year later, we formed Armed Forces Mission, which is now, as of this January this year, we're now operating as Stop Suicide USA.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because our footprint quickly grew. We started off working with military and trained the 101st Airborne, 169th Fighter Wing in South Carolina, and a lot of law enforcement, which can relate to the Armed Forces mission side.
Right.
The general public doesn't necessarily. And so we've struggled with that over the past few years. What do we do to build a bigger footprint? We've already trained 27,000 people.
Jeez.
But where do we go to take it to the next level? And so we've had that sitting on the shelf for years as a logo, slogan, so to speak. Mm. And so we said, well, that's going to be our new name.
Right.
And it says right up front who we are and what we do. You don't have to ask, what is your mission? It's in our name. Mm-hmm. Stop Suicide USA. Wow. So that's where it comes from. And it was all because my son had the willingness to ask me the tough question that most people aren't willing to ask.
Right. Wow. One of the coolest things that sitting in this training the last 2 years and just listening is you can tell that every part of what you share, one, you believe it fully, but also that you talk about it in your training as well, but like sitting in your purpose and living exactly what you're meant to be doing. And as we do this podcast, the biggest thing we're trying to do is provide hope through testimony and situation and life circumstance. And so when you go through these trainings, like what's one thing that as you go to different cities and different states and all over the place, what's one thing that you see as hope as you continue to talk about a situation that truly some people sometimes just don't get out of or move forward from?
Wow, that's a great question. From the participant standpoint, you know, a lot of people show up to these classes because they've had experience with suicide and loss. I mean, most people don't just show up on a Saturday because they don't have anything else to do. There's a lot of familiarity with that. And so even as we closed out today, and I shared with the people, maybe you've had experience. You're a survivor. Right. You've experienced loss. But we can take our pain and find our purpose through it. Mm. And when you find your purpose, you can have a passion that is so beyond the pain that you can get to the point where you say, thank God for everything I've been through.
Right.
And that's what Romans 8:28 is all about. That's what I was, that's what I'm so thankful about. I shared, and I was not being facetious, when I come to South Carolina, I really feel like I'm in the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, especially knowing that this is a faith-based organization here at the Dream Center,
yeah,
you know, it gives me the opportunity to cut loose in a way that I normally don't, I'm not able to do in a secular setting because they may not ever have me come back. Oh, he's talking about faith stuff. Yeah, I am going to talk about that because that's what saved my life.
Right.
You know, my son, after he asked me the suicide question, he immediately said, Dad, do you remember when we were boys and you made us memorize? I didn't make you memorize, but I encouraged you to memorize. Mm-hmm. And so I straightened him out on that. But he said, yeah, but you had us to memorize the 46th Psalm. Mm-hmm. And he said, could you just, and that was every single verse.
Right.
He said, could you just tell me the first verse? And before I spoke those words, the word was speaking to me.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's the power of bringing the faith component into it. I tell Chris and I think we were talking about, man, I cannot do what I do without the faith component.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only, I tell people all the time, I got a lot of people praying for me to make sure that I stay connected with my power source. You got to be plugged in. So that's my encouragement to people. When you have been down and out and kicked in the gut and are struggling to find your purpose, hold on.
Right.
And seek it. And it's like you were saying earlier today when we started, you know that what you do here is a calling.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't choose it.
No.
I wouldn't choose it, but I'm glad that God chose me.
That's right.
Because, you know, I'm going to do it.
That's right.
It has to be a calling. To encourage you, one of the ladies leaving today said, this was incredible, and what I'm most blown away by is how much he talked about Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she said it meant a lot.
Well, this, like I say, this is the Bible Belt here. To be,
yeah.
You know, I don't know about Georgia anymore. Hopefully we can bring it back.
Yeah.
Jesus can do all things. But when I come here, and it's interesting because I was training about three counties of law enforcement here just up the road going toward Greenville. And this was a few years ago, and a chief came up to me that was in the class, and he said, you're talking about the Bible. And I said, yeah. He said, you don't have to be covert here.
Mm.
He said, I pray with my guys every day.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, cut loose. And then I found out about y'all's background, and I said, I'm not going to hold back because this is the source right. of the solution, Jesus.
Right.
And that's the power source. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life.
Right.
Amen. And we tell people, people are like, wow, the Dream Center is helping people get back on their feet and helping people reestablish their life. And we are doing that. But the change agent is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
They had to put in the work.
Yeah.
But those that don't surrender to a life of Jesus is with Jesus, they struggle.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
So
that's beautiful. One of the biggest takeaways that I took from today that I don't remember you saying last year, I could have missed it, but you talked about how some people will, when suicide comes up, they'll say, well, I'm just going to do what Jesus did. Like he, you know, he presented himself this way. And you're like, no, he presented himself as a sacrifice. He did not. He did not die by suicide, mm-hmm. even though it was in his own will to do it. And for me, that was just like such an easy thing to grab onto and realize that, one, people mistake what the cross actually was.
Right.
But also, and then you said later on, we are also called to be a living sacrifice. Mm. And so everything that we do is for the one and for the people that don't see any hope out of the circumstance.
Right.
So that for me this year was just like you said it the first time. I was like, okay, this is really helpful and really good. And
good.
And as an organization who everything we're trying to do is through the love of Jesus Christ, that's in our mission statement. Mm-hmm. It just gives another tool to be like, okay, great. This is something we can grab onto.
And something that I grabbed onto even last year, I've never forgotten it. And I always remember it because we are faced with a lot of people that come in, is that you said, when a person says they're having thoughts of suicide or they want to commit suicide, that person wants to live.
Yeah,
right.
They don't want to die. They just don't see how their way out.
Right.
That was the most impactful statement you made to me because it gave me an understanding of, okay, I just need to help them see there's hope.
Right.
Because they really don't want to die.
That's right. Core value number one, suicide is not the result of wanting to die.
Yeah.
It's the result of loss that leads to hopelessness.
Wow.
So, you know, as the scripture says, without vision, which I say vision and hope are the same thing. Mm. You got to have vision to have hope. You got to have hope to have vision. So without vision, we perish. Without hope, we perish.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have hope.
Yeah.
And that hope is Jesus. And sometimes it's the person who's bringing Jesus
right.
to them. And so that's why we're supposed to be a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Giving away our time to help somebody else, doing things that we cannot do in our own strength. I've done over 2,000 suicide interventions, and I tell people all the time, I could not do this without many, many people praying for me, number one. But number two, and most importantly, you know, the last thing Jesus said is always the first, you know, the most important thing. So I say number two is the most important thing.
Right.
And that is that I have the power of the Holy Spirit working in me to do whatever it is that God has called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me doing anything. It's about just being available and allowing the Spirit to work through you.
Absolutely. So, I say a surrendered life, God can do such remarkable things with an unremarkable person.
That's it.
If you just surrender and do what he says and live in your purpose, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And ordinary, the remarkable things, people's lives are being saved.
Yeah. Ordinary people doing extraordinary because of an extraordinary, incredible God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Well, as we wrap up our time, what's like something that you're just really looking forward to this year? We're in, you know, the beginning of March. It's March 2nd. We've got a whole year ahead of us. Like, what's something inside of your ministry that you're just really looking forward to and really excited about?
Wow, that's neat. My sixth grade teacher is still a friend of mine. And I actually had her to proofread my book when I wrote it.
Yeah.
She lives out in Wyoming now, and she's been following me for the past few years. She was the one that inspired me to start writing back when I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And she said, I wish you would come to Wyoming. Well, I never gave it much thought because I didn't know, when am I going to go to Wyoming?
Right.
I go to Texas a lot. I'm here in South Carolina a lot, and then I'm very busy in Georgia. But I started looking at the numbers, and Wyoming is the worst state in the country for suicide.
Wow.
It's only 500,000 people. And so their resources are not as vast as what we have in a more populated community. Mm. But there's also a lot going on there that we need to dive into to find out what is up. And so we're actually going to be going to Casper, Wyoming this year for the first time to reach out to them to have an impact on the worst state in the country for suicide. And so that's one thing I'm really excited about. But, of course, needless to say, every opportunity I have to come back to South Carolina, I'm always going to do that because, you know, ever since 2017, we've been coming up to South Carolina for several years. And now that we've developed a relationship with you guys, it's just even more encouraging. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm just looking forward to our next event up here with you guys.
Absolutely.
That's literally what I was thinking as I was sitting here like, we've only done this twice. We've only, like, got to spend time with you in person twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you, like, feel like family. Yeah. You, like, walked in. I was like, oh, good, Lou's here. Like, it's just so, and again, it's so much because of unity in the spirit and when the body moves together as one part. You just see scripture just flow together so well.
Yeah. And I have one of our residents that lives here in our program. She came up to me at lunch and she said, Miss Chris, I really want to get one of those books. And, you know, she's not working yet. And I said, Ashley, I'll figure out a way. We'll figure out a way. She came up to me at the end and she's like, you're not going to believe this. He gave me a book. And she said, I promise, I didn't ask. But that girl was wanting a book so bad.
Yeah.
And she said, you gave her a book.
Wow.
So I was like, wow.
Amazing.
But I wondered if someone's listening right now and they didn't have the opportunity to come to this training today.
Great.
And they don't know how to go to a training or they don't in their area have, and they're either faced with a situation where they have someone in their family or even themselves, what would be the one thing you would say to them?
Wow. Well, can I look in the camera and say
absolutely, please.
I got to do that because if you're having thoughts of suicide, don't do it. That's the very thing that my son said to me when he asked me. And the neat thing is this, when he said, I shared it at the very end today. You know, he asked me the question, what are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself? And I was telling myself, before he asked that question, I was telling myself my family would be better off without me. But the moment that he asked that question, Dad, what are you telling yourself? It went into past tense. And I said, I was telling myself that y'all would be better off without me. But now I know that's not true. And so we have all kind of thoughts every day of our lives that we don't act on. We don't have to. And suicide is just a thought.
Right.
And we don't have to act on it.
Yeah.
The Bible says bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and suicide is certainly at the top of that list.
Right.
I set before you today life and death. Choose life that you may live.
Absolutely.
And so that's my encouragement. And then if you have lost individuals to suicide and you're a survivor who has experienced that loss, I would encourage you to come to the class, and I would say never, ever think for one moment that you are to blame for a loss. We cannot save the world. There's only one who could.
Yeah.
And so all we can do is like I shared with that verse in the Talmud, the Jewish scripture, save a life and it is as if you have saved the world. And so all we can do is go out there and work the best we can to try to save somebody's world.
Yeah.
And so take the pain in your life, find your purpose, and you will live with passion. That's what I would say to anyone listening.
And is there a number? Isn't there a resource like a hotline number too that they could, if they're needing to know where trainings are in their area?
Well, you can go to our website at StopSuicideUSA.org to learn more about that, or to invite us to come to a class in your area.
Absolutely. Okay.
And then if a person is in crisis, the new national crisis line for suicide is 988.
Okay.
Correct. It's no longer 911. This is nationwide.
Okay.
So if you don't know who else to call, at the very least, call 988.
Okay.
Great. Yep. Great. We'll definitely attach. I'd love to put your website in the bio in this episode and just as much as we can get in front of people to help with this whole thing. I'd love to. So we'll definitely
spread the word.
Absolutely.
But yeah, thank you so much for the training today, saying yes to this, again, becoming like family and a part of what we truly do care. Like this is something we talk about all year. It's not just beginning of March is here. It's time for the suicide prevention event. it's like we talk about this all year long. So just thank you for how you're pouring into this community and how you're teaching us to be able to step in the gap. And I'm just looking forward to the true difference that it will bring in the future and starting now for this.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next year.
Yes, we'll see you next year. And we'll see you guys on the next episode of the podcast.